when I arrived at this museum, my first meeting with him was impromptu. I was just arriving to say hi and let everybody know I was in town. And the lady there, who was running the museum at the time, said, well, would you like to go back there and say hello to Robert? I said, well, sure. You know, I'd been told you better not try to get any photography, any videography of this doll without his permission. And I didn't go all that way to have my camera stop working or my picture is not developed. So here I go walking through this museum. Again, it's an old fort. And when you turn the corner and a few rooms away, you lock eyes with this little doll. Now, we're talking he's about 3 feet tall. When you lock eyes with him in the distance, immediately you feel like you're looking at a person.
And he's in a glass case, isn't he?
He usually is. Once on rare occasions, they'll take him out once in a while, and they did that for me during the course of my investigation. So that was okay. A big treat, and I'm very grateful to Claudia Pennington, the director there, and Jack and Annalisa and some wonderful people who were very accommodating. So now you see this doll sitting there, and immediately you get the sense there is this sort of magnetism that's drawing you over to him. And it was over 90 degrees in there. It was sweltering. But when I saw him, it was like somebody poured ice water down my back. And when I finally stood there in front of this doll, it's amazing. It's like you're going there to hold court with the King of England or something. You get the goosebumps, you know, the hair bristles on your neck. And I stood there and I thought, like, you know, suddenly this all makes sense to me. Now I know why there's a mystique here. And I said, Robert, my name is Joshua P. Warren. I've come from a long way to study you and explore the mystery around you, and I want you to know that whatever I find will be shared with millions of people, so do I have your permission, please?
Oh, so you told him about Coast to Coast. Thanks.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's just what I need.
So I stood there, and I looked at him, and it sounds crazy, but I got the feeling that if you can imagine this doll smiling, that's what it felt like. You know, it's like his demeanor toward me felt positive, and I took that as a yes. Now, that doesn't mean that things went very smoothly for me from then on out, however, because here's what you must realize. The walls around this doll are plastered with letters from people who are pleading forgiveness. They've gone there to photograph him, and they didn't ask permission, and afterward, there is just a string of bad luck that befalls them. And, in fact, I have some of those letters posted at joshuapwarren.com, including an actual original letter written to him from President George W. Bush in 2005.
Jeez.
So, yes, George, the President of the United States wrote a letter to this doll. And when you're up close and you're looking at George, and then, by the way, George Bush wrote the letter to wish him a happy birthday. But when you're looking at Robert close up, again, consider, this is about a 3-foot-tall doll. He's sitting there in a little chair.
Does he look old?
Oh, yes, he looks very old. He's over 100 years old. He's stuffed with straw, but his face is made of felt that's kind of hardened and pockmarked by years of decay. And then the woman who made him, the voodoo priestess, she actually took some sprigs of blonde human hair and inserted them somewhat around the back of his skull. But it's those, you know, coal black eyes that kind of bore right through you. And so to be up there close, the skin of the doll actually does have a sense of being flesh-like. I mean, he's magnificently made. And when I started my tests, one thing that kind of surprised me was that not only did I get these bursts of up to 2-3 milligauss of electromagnetism around him that I could not explain, but again, we're in a museum, so it was hard to rule out all possible causes, but when I viewed him under a UV light, which is probably very seldom done, there were these sort of odd stains that would appear. And I have been told that when the voodoo priestess made the doll, the hair was not the only human part she used, that there might have been blood or something else involved to give it that sense of realism.
Somewhere along the line, she must have used something from some possessed person or some tragedy, somewhere.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, when people see the doll and have seen the doll over the years, they not only say the doll exudes energy, but he also absorbs energy. And one of the big slogans down there is blame it on Robert. There have been times in the past when all of Key West has gotten together and had a parade and lifted little Robert the doll up and marched through the streets of downtown, and they say, everything that's going wrong in your life, blame it on Robert. He's the cause. He's the problem. And so this doll over time has become this central point for a lot of negative emotion. And in effect, in an odd way, you kind of feel sorry for the doll, you know. And while I was there on the second day of my investigation, there were two people who told me they had seen him move that day. One was a woman from New Jersey who came up to me, and she knew what I was there for, and she said, Mr. Warren, I've got to tell you this. I was just standing over here with my husband, and I asked Robert if I could take his picture, and I swear, she said, he nodded up and down. And I got her on camera saying this. And then I talked to a man from New Jersey, and he said that he saw that Robert wiggle his foot, his right foot. Later in the day, I talked to a woman who was from Florida, and she said that Robert had actually locked her up in there in the museum one evening. She believes wholeheartedly that it was him. She heard the little pitter-patter of feet, you know, and said that she had to call maintenance to be delivered from the museum.